Track 6. Here at the Sports Desk, we can only start this week's report with a salute to Glass Boys, that's Stourbridge Football Club, whose glorious tradition in the FA Cup competition continued last Saturday with a 3-1 victory against Alfreton Town. Alfreton play their league soccer in the Vanarama League North, that's a level above Stourbridge, and are currently placed in about the middle of that league table this season, so they are no mugs. Well, that may be the case, but the visitors were not so smart with their initial action in this game. Two of their players saw a red card within the opening half an hour. For the rest of the match, Glass Boys were battling against 9 men. That should have made the task much easier, but sometimes fighting against the odds, as Alfreton then had to do, makes a team stronger, and they certainly did not surrender. Goals from Tom Tonks and Josh Green had put the home side ahead, but Alfreton reduced the deficit in the second half, and there were some nervous moments among the home support before Leon Broadhurst made the game safe with Stourbridge's third strike. Their reward is another home draw in the fourth round of the Cup, but probably an even bigger task, as their opponents next time will be Macclesfield, who play their regular league soccer in the National League. That's the level just below League Two. Sure to be a sellout at the Memorial Ground, but meanwhile the team had little time to even think about that, as they were straight back into league action on Monday evening with a home fixture against Colville. I have not seen a report on this match yet, but I imagine this was another occasion for the home fans to reach for their heart pills, as Glassboys' 2-1 victory was only achieved in injury time at the end when Jordan Archer scored to seal the win. These are heady days for the club. Not only are they maintaining their proud FA Cup tradition, they are joint top of the Northern Premier League. What a contrast with Halesowen Town in the same league. Town are right at the foot of the league table after only 2 wins and a couple of draws in the league so far. They went out of the FA Cup after a home defeat in the first round, and they recently suffered the indignity of a 5-1 home defeat in the league. At the top level in soccer, there was a mixed bag of results for West Midlands clubs at the weekend. In the Premier League, West Bromwich established an early 2-0 lead at home to Watford, but had to settle for a 2-2 draw in the end when the visitor scored their second goal in the 5th minute of injury time. In the Championship, Villa scraped a 1-0 home win against the bottom club, Bolton. Wolves travelled the short distance to meet Burton Albion and administered a 4-0 thrashing, but the boot was on the other foot when Birmingham City travelled to Hull and lost 6-1. 2-0 down within the first 10 minutes, Blues' only consolation goal came in injury time at the end of the match. Welcome Steve Cottrell, newly established as the team's manager replacing Harry Redknapp. There's no action in the Premier League nor Championship this coming weekend, as they make way for the final round of qualifying matches for the 2018 World Cup. England, top of their group by a margin of 5 points, play Slovenia at Wembley on Thursday, followed on Sunday by a visit to Lithuania. One win for them, they're unbeaten so far, will be enough to ensure their qualification for next year's tournament in Russia. And Stourbridge Rugby kept up their perfect start to the season. 5 matches played, 5 bonus point wins when Chester visited Stourton Park on Saturday. A match played in continuous drizzle failed to dampen the spirits of the home 15, who, in the first half especially, displayed some delightful handling, swallowed up the visitors' attack on the few occasions when they could get going, and ran in 4 tries. The last of these, a jinking run by fullback Afiafi Haisila. I hope I've pronounced that right. I've heard some home fans dub him Haile Selassie, who somehow evaded 4 tackles before crossing the line. With the bonus point already secured, the home support readied themselves for more of the same second half, but playing uphill with a heavy wet ball and versus a visiting team who'd doubtless received the benefit of a serious talking to by their coaching staff at the interval, Stourbridge found the going harder. Both sides found the going tough in these conditions, Chester eventually registering their second try of the match, and in the dying moments, Stourbridge responded with one of their own to bring a final score of 36 points to 12 in their favour. Thanks to the bonus point earned in every match so far, the club are top of the league table by a single point from Tynedale, and now face the long trip to Bladon up in the northeast this Saturday, where they will try and maintain that winning streak. How the Stourbridge Lions, the amateur side at Stourton Park, must envy that record. They went down to their fourth defeat of the season on Saturday by 14 points to 3 versus Moseley Oak and are finding the competition tough in the Midlands 1 West League, into which they've won promotion this season. And just along the road on Saturday at Heathbrook, Dudley Kings Winford also suffered a humiliating home defeat, going down by 41 points to 10 against Burton. DK started the league season with 3 wins on the trot, but have now lost their last 2 matches. Now for the latest Speedway news, and I spent a fair amount of time last week telling you about the Wolverhampton Wolves' 13-point victory over Bellevue in the first leg of the Elite League playoff semi-final at the Monmore Green track on Monday night last week. They were due to race the second leg up at the Manchester Club's track on the Wednesday, and I finished my report by wondering whether that 13-point winning margin would be enough to confirm Wolves as victorious in the aggregate once the second meeting had been completed. In fact, Wednesday's meeting had to be postponed, yet another victim of the rain which has blighted the concluding weeks of the season this year, but it took place on Friday instead. Wolves lost by 12 points, and as a result won the aggregate of the two meetings, home and away, by a single point, 90-89. Cue celebration. But wait a minute, there's more to tell. In the home leg on the Monday of last week, Wolves skipper Freddie Lindgren was their star performer, as so often this season and in many years before. That evening he won all 5 of the heats in which he raced. At Bellevue on Friday, he was again the main man, won 4 heats, but then, in unlucky heat 13, he was in a collision with one of the Bellevue riders, came off his bike and landed awkwardly on his back. He was taken to hospital with a neck injury and as a result is not fit to take part in the final of the playoffs against Swindon this week. He's such a key member of the team, as you can imagine this has cast a pall over the semi-final victory. The accident happened at a key moment in Friday's second leg. Wolves had begun the second leg of the semi-final well and by halfway through had built a lead. But Bellevue responded strongly, were catching up, and after Lindgren had left the scene, it took a storming victory by Rory Schlein for Wolves in the 14th and penultimate heat to ensure the victory. So Wolves were in the 2-leg grand final for the second year in succession, and the first leg was raced at the home track of their final opponents, the Swindon Robins, on Monday evening this week. How were the Wolves, shorn of Lindgren, their inspirational captain, and his experienced Swedish sidekick Jacob Torsell, who'd been injured in the first semi-final against Bellevue, going to fare against Swindon, who finished the 2017 season at the top of the Elite League table? Few people gave them a prayer, and Wolves were long odds against a win at the bookies. However, no one had told the team this, and led by stand-in skipper Rory Schlein, they stormed into the lead at the Swindon track on Monday evening. 3 heats midway through the meeting were crucial. Wolves riders came first and second in each of these, and despite Swindon mounting a rearguard action to reduce the deficit, Wolves won the first leg of this match and take a 4-point winning margin into Wednesday evening's return leg at their own Monmore Green track. I'll tell you about that next week. I was talking last week about the American football at Wembley, and since then I've been reading in the local press that next summer there's the possibility of the game being played at Stourton Park by a newly formed team, the Black Country Vipers. This will be made possible thanks to the installation of a new artificial pitch at the ground. The work to lay this is ongoing at the moment, and Stourbridge Rugby expects to play their first match on it at the end of October. The beauty of this pitch is that it can be used for sports day after day without wearing out, not merely rugby, but any sporting activity that needs a playing pitch. The surface can apparently stand up to any sort of activity without wear and tear, apart from normal upkeep, and Stourbridge Rugby are hoping its presence will attract all sorts of sports organisations to use the ground. I don't know anything as yet about the Vipers American football team, but as well as playing themselves during the summer of 2018, they hope to interest youngsters in the sport and offer them coaching and training facilities. But it's October now, and coming to the time of year when I regularly have an opportunity to mention local cyclocross star Hannah Payton. Cyclocross, which is like cross-country running but on a bike, is a winter sport and one at which Hannah, indeed the entire Payton family from Stourbridge, excel. She is a professional rider who tends to spend much of the winter season in Belgium and Holland, where cyclocross is a leading sport. But she's been taking part in the West Midlands Cyclocross League and has won two of the four rounds of that to date, her aggressive attack from the start of these races being too much for the other competitors to cope with. Two other members of the Peyton family, brothers of Hannah, also achieved podium finishes on the same day. Well, that's all from this week's sports news and comment. I'll be back next week, but until then, it's goodbye from Brian Gall.